الحمد لله الحمد وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم As the pandemic rages on, I wanted to touch in the short reminder today on one aspect of that. And that is the idea that because of the spread of the virus, many people experience for a certain period of time, what we call quarantine. And people are confined to their homes. And, you know, even now, those people who are careful or are in contact with individuals who are more elderly or at higher risk are taking many of the due precautions. But one of the things that we saw that as people started staying home and being confined at home, both from a public health perspective and from an Islamic perspective, we see a lot of other problems that started to emerge, to the extent that sometimes people start to question what's worse, you know, the disease or the cure. And, recently I remember one of the mashayikh, he was advising someone who had written to him about how the fact that they're going crazy at home, the kids are at home, the mother's going crazy, parents are going crazy, it's just too much. And so he gave him some advice, and part of that was, with due precautions, getting back into normal life, and it was for that particular situation. But the words that he used were, I wouldn't say comical, but noteworthy. That he said, most people are going to be burying yourselves in your backyard. And the reason that I mentioned that is, someone else had recently told me, and I don't know how true the statistic is, but that the rate of suicide actually exceeded deaths in the UK during the quarantine period. Whether that's true or not, we definitely see an uptick in domestic abuse and, those type of problems. And that was a real worry because you're putting people together that normally would have other outlets. They would be going to work, they wouldn't be around each other, and sort of that mitigated some of that negativity. But now you keep them together for a certain period of time and things start exploding. Spiritual diseases start coming out, so on and so forth. And it can have, like I said, devastating effects. I mean, the fact that there's injury being caused to people that, should actually love each other, families falling apart, divorce rates, ticking up. And in the most extreme case, people taking their lives. And what that highlights is that in very much the same way, there's this idea in Islamic spirituality of hidden spiritual diseases. And the fact that sometimes these diseases don't manifest themselves don't necessarily mean that they're not there. It just means that the circumstances hasn't arisen for it to manifest. So for example, if a person is making a lot of dhikr, making a lot of ibadah, they stay all the time by themselves, they're just in the masjid, they're sort of living a monkish life, then, on the surface, it would seem that this person is achieving great spiritual heights. But what the mashayikh will see is not necessarily what the person is manifesting on the outside, but they're looking at the fact that there might be many other things that exist there that just haven't manifest themselves because you're not in the situation. It's like the example of this, this one of the youth, he had, existed very much in a bubble, just around ulama and madrasa and this and that. And, he was sort of cited even as an example of an exemplary youth in terms of his taqwa and tasawwuf and his so on and so forth, his khidma. But when he got introduced, back into the real world, so to speak, when he came back into the West, The first time that someone, he met some, woman and some sister, she puts out her hand to shake his hand. And in that immediate moment, there wasn't, he just, succumbed to that, and he just shook the woman's hand. And so then it really begs the question that, that it wasn't that something happened right then. It was just that problem, that lack of strength was there all along. And because the person wasn't challenged, they hadn't grown in that aspect, in the ability to, for example, not fear the blame of the blamer, not care about what other people think, be able to, overcome the awkwardness of a situation, thinking about the awkwardness that will be when a person has to give hisab to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these type of things come when through tests. And when people create sometimes these religious bubbles for themselves, not to say that we don't protect our children, for example, from situations of fitna. I'm not saying them, put them in, haram situations and tell them that, oh, you make them strong. But, just like those people who grow up, if you grow up in a complete bubble and you don't develop any immunity, the first time that you're going to be exposed to a virus or something, it could be, deadly for the individual because they haven't developed any antibodies to that particular disease. And they've never been confronted with it. And, there's people who grow up with these strange genetic congenital diseases like common variable immunodeficiency, and they lack B and T cells, or they might lack NK cells, and they don't have the ability to mount an immune response. One of those individuals actually called them the bubble baby because they actually just raised the child in a bubble. And parents will sometimes do that. And while we have to protect our children, we also have to protect them, going to that extent of protecting them where they can't live sort of a normal life, sometimes can have very deleterious effects. In the course of life, they're going to meet other kids, and other kids are going to teach them swear words. And at a certain point, they're going to have to make that choice that, no, I don't want to use swear words. When they're going to school and meeting other kids, they're going to learn about the opposite gender. You can't just keep them... say that you're never going to go to a school that even has, at least in the West, you're never going to see the opposite gender, they have separated class, so on and so forth. But the fact that you're not going to sit and talk to any kid who has ever talked about someone of the opposite gender. I mean, they're kids, they're teenagers, they're going to talk about things. But then a person, when they learn to have taqwa and not succumb to that and live a life of haya despite of all of that, it comes very strong. Similarly, this is one of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends tests to people in their life. That when a test comes, that's one of the ways for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow for an unfurling of those hidden diseases. And it gives us an opportunity to, number one, see those diseases, and number two, to rectify those diseases. It's actually a blessing in disguise. When a person, for example, they might have a spouse that's giving them a very hard time, and they might be thinking, why is my spouse like this? Why is my spouse like this? Why is my spouse like that? But maybe the person who's being afflicted, they were lacking in sabr. So when the situation came out, then they got a chance to build up their sabr. And that is the gift of trial, right? That's the gift of difficulty. And it's okay to have difficulties in our dunya. If they come not from our own doings or as a recompense for our bad deeds, but if they just comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side, then there is some khair in it, biyadihi al-khair, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand is good. This is something that we acknowledge, and we have to find that silver lining. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taftinna fi dinina, that He doesn't create a fitna for us in our deen. Because then that's deleterious for something that's going to last forever and ever and ever. And there's not a silver lining, so to speak, to that situation. If a person is falling into ma'asiyah and falling into the kabair, that's not, that person is succumbing to those type of situations. That's truly problematic. So in any case, this is, people who've, for example, sometimes they'll get an offer to give a khutbah. They say, oh, no, I don't want to give a khutbah, I don't want to get riya, and I don't want to... Well, the problem is that if you're worried about it, it's probably there. And one of the only ways that you're going to get over the hump is actually by giving the khutbah and battling it with inside until you can overcome it and become sincere for Allah. You know, oh, I don't want to lead the prayer, and you know, the person's hafiz, and you say that, no, I have this problem, and I don't want it to be showing off. Well, you know, lead the prayer, and then work on your niyyah. The same thing for all those people who make these excuses that, oh, you know, I'm wearing hijab for my parents, I'm doing this for my parents, I'm doing this for society, my niyyah is not pure. Well, do those things and keep on working on what's on the inside, because that hidden thing is not going to go away if you just shove it onto the rug. It's just going to stay there. And what's even worse is, just like, as we know, and with everything, if you just stuff it, something in the back of the fridge, you stuff something under the rug and you leave it long enough, it's just going to fester. It's not like it goes away, it just becomes worse and worse and worse. So a person has to have the honesty, the bravery, the integrity to confront their demons, whether they be open or whether they be hidden. And sometimes the hardest thing is that when we develop these images of ourselves, that I'm such and such way, you know, oh, I'm an alim, I'm a hafiz, I'm a sheikh, I'm a Islamic worker, I'm a salik, I'm a, you know, a person of taqwa, I'm one of the, you know, the good kids, I'm, you know, I'm a hijabi, I'm a niqabi. All of these identities we form for ourselves, and then when those hidden things become manifest, and it's very uncomfortable because it challenges that image that we have for ourselves. But a person who is true to Allah and true to themselves will be brave enough and courageous enough to confront the demon that challenges that identity and reform something that's actually based on something, not based on something that's false. Otherwise, we're living a lie. So that was just one small lesson, I think, to take from the idea that, and like, there's other things that come up, even when people are, for example, have been in quarantine, you know, people like, I can't take this anymore, you know, I can't, I'm around my family, I can't stand them, I'm at home, I can't stay at home, I'm getting so bored. I mean, these are all things which are manifesting. You know, if a person's getting, how can you get bored when you have Quran? It shows a lack of connection with Quran. How can you get bored when you have dhikr? It shows a lack of connection with Allah. You know, how a person says, you know, I keep on butting heads with my family. Well, then there's something wrong with the family dynamics there. And that means that people need to invest more in their family and work out some of those kinks. You know, if people are getting into a lot of fights, then there may be a character flaw that needs to be worked out, and people need to rise. And as you go through these difficulties, then, you know, when you get to the other side, then a person is in a better spot. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make it easy for us the other thing that, just let me mention for, I guess, completeness, you know, one of the things that people just can't stand was just staying at home. You know, they're like, I can't travel, I can't get out, so much so that, you know, they have this, now they're marketing these flights to nowhere, that people get on a plane and it just goes in a circle and it just comes back. It's just not going anywhere, just to get the experience of quote unquote getting away. So question, these are opportunities for a person to sit down and ask themselves, what am I getting away from? What am I running away from? Why can't I take the silence? Why does it bother me so much to be at home? When the Quran, on one hand, tells us, وَجَعَلَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا, that our house is a place for sukoon. That's the place that we want to run to. That's the place that we want to seek refuge in. But then people are running away from that. And if our hearts and if our place, our houses are not places of sukoon, then what have we done to take out the barakah from our homes? And then that's a whole different talk. But these are realities that emerge. Right, and the emergence of those realities are actually a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because being allowed to see it is the first step towards rectification. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to rectify ourselves and overcome and slay our hidden demons. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.